We begin the current daf in Septus Megillah daf Chaf Aleph. We begin 5 lines down with the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah. That, as we mentioned, because of the topic of Kriyas Megillah, whatever is kosher by Yom is kosher Kalayim, one of them being Kriyas Megillah. So we also said whatever is kosher by Laila is kosher the whole night. And the Mishnah went through a list of things that are kosher by Yom. Then the Mishnah said Kala Laila kosher, the whole night is valid for Lekitzira Sa'imer V'Hulu, regarding a few items that there it's the whole night that's valid. So the Gemara explains the two items that were mentioned. Regarding that the katsira of the Omer, which is the reaping of the new grain for the carbon, the Omer, which is that which is the first one brought from the new grain in the Beis HaMikdash, of the barley offering, the master said that katsira v'svira balayla, the reaping of the grain and the counting, which is also the correlate of the mitzvah of svir sa'omer, which starts from the first of the barley offering, then the first wheat one is brought on Shavuos, that reaping and the counting is done at night time, which the Gemara Masechet Menachos learns out from the pasuk that talks about Tamimais has to be complete, which is the Jewish day starts at night time. So if you want to have a full complete 49 days from the Sviras HaEmer, which includes is the time when you do the Ketziras HaEmer, till Shavuos, it has to be started at night time. So that's how we know the Ketziras HaEmer is at night time. And Vahava Bayem, and the bringing of the actual carbon is during the daytime, as we learn in Meyim HaVayachem, from the day that you bring it, it's done during the daytime. The other item we said in the Mishnah was lehekter chalavim veivarm. The burning on the mizbeach, on the fires, are the sacrificial parts, which are the fats and the limbs. Those are burned throughout the night. Where do we know that from? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says of Yikra that you put the limbs al mikta al mizbeach on the pyre, which is the fire on the mizbeach, kol halayla ad habayker, the whole night until the morning. So it's clearly a pasuk that says this halacha. Then the Mishnah then concluded and said, zakal, this is the rule. We said many items during the daytime, many at nighttime. This is the rule. Davish mitzvah sabayayim, kasha kalayim. Whatever its mitzvah is during the daytime, it's valid all day. Now says the Gemara, Zaklala, so you already went through a whole long list of things. When it says this is the rule, what are you coming to include? Says the Gemara, Lasuyi sidr bezichin basilik bezichin. This is coming to include the levaina, the frankincense, which is put on the shulchan together with the 12 showbreads, the lechem upon them. So it says that there's a requirement of putting on the frankincense, and then when you take it up on Shabbos, you go ahead and you burn it on the Mizbeach, at the same time when then they go ahead and eat the 12 showbreads. So regarding the organizing of the frankincense and taking it off, that's coming to tell us that that's kasher kalayim ukreb yesi, who he says in Masechet Menachos, even if you take off the old ones in the morning and you only put on the new ones in the evening, that's still considered, quote, tamid, which the pasuk says has to be on the shulchan. Tamid just means to say that you shouldn't have any night that you didn't have the bread there. Whereas, according to the Rabbanon, actually, as you're pushing off the old ones, you have to be pushing on the new ones. It has to be constantly. You can never have it without the showbreads and without the frankincense. The time like Linda Bryce, he says, Silikas Yishon Shachris, if you took off the old ones in the morning, Vesides Achadasha Arvis, and you put in the new ones in the evening, Emekach Klum, that doesn't bother us. That mitzvah of the Bezichin and the Lechem upon them is valid the whole day. So, Amana Mekayim, Lefnashim, Tamitz, how do I fill the pasuk? It says it has to be constantly on it at all times. It means, Shalehei Shulchim Alei Lechem, you should never have any night on the table without any bread, but it doesn't have to be every single moment, and that's what's saying that the mitzvah is kalayim, it can be done at any point during the day, which is done on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah said, Davish mitzvah b'layla, and also this is the rule, whatever the mitzvah is by night, and kosher kalayla is valid all night. Says the Gemara Lasuya, I already mentioned two items, what's it coming to include that it's valid all night? Says the Gemara Lasuya, Achilas Pesachim is coming to include, according to this Tana, the consumption of the Karban Pesach can be all night long. The time of the Braisa, that's actually Machlekes. It says in the Pasuk, you'll eat the meat of the Karban Pesach this night. So, according to Tanav Mishnah, it means the whole night. But Amr Loz ben Azariah, he says from Exeris Shav, it says, Nemer Kam Balay Lazer. It says here in this Pasuk, eating the Karban Pesach, it says this night. V'nemel Halan says over there in Sefer Shemois, V'avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim Balay Lazer. And the Sem says, I went through the land of Egypt on this night. Malahal Nat Chatzai. It's just like over there, Hashem went until midnight. Avkanat Chasei Soto over here, when it's saying regarding the Eden Carbon Pesach, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's only up until midnight. That's what the Tanav Mishnah is coming to exclude from that and disagree and says that no, whatever is kosher during the nighttime, which is the Carbon Pesach, is valid the entire nighttime. Hanulach HaKaril Mafreya, we shall return to you the second parak of Masechet Megillah, parak HaKaril Mafreya, which spoke about the halacha of reading out of order and other halachas regarding reading the Megillah. And with that, we begin the third parak, continuing on this theme of the first parakim, regarding the laws of Kriyas Megillah, as the title of the parak is, parak HaKari Oimid, which they all have the same idea of HaKari, so it's then the next word which differentiates, which our Mishnah was Lemafreya, and this is HaKari Oimid. So the Mishnah begins, HaKari is a Megillah. If someone's reading the Megillah, so if he wants to, he could say it oimid standing, and if he wants to, v'yoshev, if he wants to, he could say it sitting down also. Continues the Mishnah, kara echad, you could have one person reading the Megillah, or kara shnayim, you could have two people reading the Megillah together, and if it's done like that, yatzu, they have fulfilled the obligation, and we don't say, as we'll say shortly regarding the Kriyas HaTorah, that what's called trei kol l'mishtamo, you can't hear two voices at the same time, you're not going to hear anything then. By the reading of Megillah, we don't say that even if two are reading Megillah together, they fulfill the obligation. Now, continues the Mishnah, Makom shenogu levarach yivarach, where the custom is to make a blessing on the reading of Megillah, then they make one. V'shalai levarach lay yivarach, but if the custom is not to make a bracha, then you don't have to make a bracha. Now, continues the Mishnah regarding the laws of kriya, of public reciting of a mitzvah purpose. So we were just talking about reading the Megillah. Now the Mishnah continues regarding kriya satayr. Says the Mishnah, B'sheni v'chamisha, Mondays and Thursdays, B'Shabbos b'mincha, and Shabbos in the afternoon, by Tfilas Mincha, Karin Shleisha. The halacha is, you call up three people for an aliyah, which this was a takana of Ezra, that they should recite the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays, as the Gemara brings in Baba Kam, in Perek Merubah. Now, our Mishnah is coming to tell us that halacha is, how many people do you call up to that Sefer Torah? It's three people, a Kohen, a Levi, and the Yisrael. Additionally, says the Mishnah, you don't call up less than three people, and neither do you call up more than three people, because we don't want to make it difficult for the public, because these are days when people are working on Mondays and Thursdays, and Shabbos afternoon is also close to when it's already getting dark, because all day their custom was to darshan regarding learning Torah, and therefore people had to still have Shalosh Shudas, you had to have different things, and therefore we don't have more than three aliyahs by those three different times. Additionally, because of that, v'maftir menavi, you don't end off with reading from the book of prophets, which relate to that parsha that you're reading, because of the same reason, because people are in a rush on Mondays and Thursdays to go to work, and on Shabbos afternoon to go ahead and eat Shal Shudas, so therefore we don't have aftar from Navi. Now, additionally, he says the Mishnah, ha-pesech v'achesim atayra. I think Mel will exactly explain this, but the one who opens up the Kriyas HaTorah and the one who ends the Kriyas HaTorah, mevarach lefeneu l'acharah, they make a bracha before the reading of the Torah and at the end of the reading of the Torah. Now, continues the Mishnah, Beresh Chadashim, Amrish Chaydish, Ubuchel Shalmayid, and the intermediate days of Yom Tov, Ubuchel Shalmayid, and those two times, Karin Arba, there are four people that they call up for an aliyah. Ein Peichs Men, you don't do less than that. Ve'im Asif Nalan, you don't do more than that. The reason for that is because both Beresh Chaydish and Chalamayid, although there are some customs regarding doing less work on Chalamayid, also you can't do every type of work, but there's still a loss of work, and people have to go out to go to work, because a Davar HaAvid, something that would be a loss to a person, is permitted. So therefore those are still work days, so if you don't do more than four aliyahs, but again, it's still somewhat of a holiday, both of them, so you have one more aliyah. And for that same reason, Be'im Haftir Manavi, you don't have the Haftarah being read on those days. And HaPesech V'Chesim B'Torah Mevarach L'Avneh L'Acharah, and when they call up for the Torah, the one who starts off the aliyahs and the one who has the last aliyah, they make a bracha before and after the Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Mishnah Zakal, this is the rule. Kol Shiyesh B'Musav Ve'inu Yamtiv, whatever has an addition to it, a Karbin Musav, which is Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoid, and Ve'inu Yamtiv, it's not a Yamtiv, both of them. So Karin Arba, then that's when you have four aliyahs. B'Yamtiv, on the holiday itself, is Chamisha, there's five aliyahs. B'Yom Kippurim, a little bit more severe, Shisha is six aliyahs. And B'Shabbos Shiva, and on Shabbos, there's seven aliyahs. In Peichs Men, you don't do, on these times that we just described, less than that amount of aliyahs, of Masivan Lein, but on Shabbos, one could add on more aliyahs than seven. Umaftim B'Navi, and they conclude with the Haftarah on the Yom Tovim of the in the Navi. And the one who opens up the aliyahs and the last aliyah, they make the bracha before the Torah and then at the end of the reading of the Torah. Now, Tanur Lina Braisa, regarding what we opened up regarding this permissibility of reading from the Megillah, whether standing or sitting, Tanur Lina Braisa Masha'inka B'Torah. That does not apply by the reading of the Torah, where one is not allowed to read from the Torah in the Tzibur for the public sitting down. Says Gemara Menan Mele, where do we know this from? So Amar Bavo, he says, because Amakra, it's a pasuk in Devarim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata poi amod amodi, and you stand here with me. So you see that when one is learning from Hashem's Torah, one has to stand. Now, moreover, Amar Bavo, he says, what you see from this pasuk is, El Mele Mukar Kasev, had we not had a pasuk written like this, Yev Shalom, it wouldn't be permissible to say it, but Kaviyachal, as if one could say this, because we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in like anthropomorphic terms regarding like a person, as if you could say it, Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bamida, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing, which is, you stand here with me. Of course, that doesn't apply. That's why I use the terminology Kaviyachal. But again, that's why someone, when he's reading from the Torah, has to stand there because, so to speak, Hashem is standing there too. Another teaching from Avraham Rebbevo says, related, that minayin l'rav shlo yesha b'gabi mita. How do we know that the teacher should not be sitting on a couch? V'yishan l'tamid al gabi karka, and teach the students who they're sitting on the floor. Rather, either the, both of them are on couches or both of them are on the floor. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk we just quoted, v'ata paya moide modi, and here you stand with me, which is when you have the teacher and the student, Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, they're both standing. You can't have one standing and one sitting. Also related, turn about the Braisa, that Moshe vad Rebbe Gamliel, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe Gamliel, lohayu lemeidin Torah elam umet. They will learn Torah, as we brought in the pasuk, only standing. Meshemesh Rebbe Gamliel, but Rebbe Gamliel passed away, yorid chay loilam. So weakness, illness came to the world. Lohayu lemeidin Torah miyushav, and then they started learning Torah sitting down. Behind the Tan, that's what it means in the Mishnah Masechet Saita that says Meshemesh Rebbe Gamliel, when Rebbe Gamliel passed away, but covered Torah, so it was nullified. The dignity and the honor of Torah were used to be when people learned, they would learn standing, and that's covered Torah. But then after he passed away, people couldn't stand anymore, and therefore that sitting is a bitzel of covered Torah. Similar discussion, the Gemara asked the following question. On the one hand, there's a pasuk in the Devarim that says that Moshe Rabbeinu says ve'ishi bahar, that I sat in the mountain, and he learned from Hashem on Har Sinai when he went up to Shemayim. For Kasav Echadem, one pasuk says in the Devarim v'nechim madeti bahar, I stood on the mountain. What did he do? Did he stand or did he sit? So Amarav, he says oimid v'loimid. Yeah, he would stand and learn from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, like the pasuk said amoyde mati yeshu b'shayne. Then he would sit and then review it by himself, what he was learning by himself, and then he would sit. Another interpretation, Chanina, he says, no, loy amid v'loy yoshim. It's somewhere in between. It wasn't standing nor sitting. El Sheikha bent over, so it's partly standing, partly sitting. Third interpretation, Yechidam, he says, ein yeshiva elosh nakava. No, he stood. When it says that I was eshev, yeshiva means a terminology of delay, of tarrying. Shnemak says, bazin devarim, v'teishev v'kaddish yom rabim, that they tarried in Kaddish, the name of the place, many days. It doesn't mean sitting, it means staying there. Or a fourth interpretation, Rav Amar, he says, it depends. He did both. Raka is the easy things to understand, which a person could understand very well. Mu'mid, that he learned from Hashem standing. For Kashas Mishav, the hard things that he would have to sit down for, that's how you have both Amadati and Eshev. Now, the Mishnah had said that Kara Echad, Karu Shnayim, the next Allah went on to say that if one person's reading Megillah, or two people reading Megillah, so then Yatsu V'chulu, they have fulfilled the obligation. So, as the Gemara continues on the base, Tanu Litna Braisa here too is Masha Enke B'Tera. Here also, this law does not apply to Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, as the Gemara brings now, could only have one person reading from the Torah. Tanu Litna Litna Braisa. But Torah, when there's the reading from the Torah in Shul, Echad Kariv Echad Metargim. So, one reads from the Torah, and one translates in the Aramaic translation, which was the custom in Talmudic times. Ubovachli Echad Kariv Vishnai Metargim. As long as you don't have one reading and two people translating, because when there's two people, so then you can't differentiate because you can't hear two sounds at the same time. And for sure, you can't have two people reading from the Torah at the same time. And we want to have one person translating because it was very important for the women and for the ignoramuses, who the whole purpose of the Aramaic translation was because they didn't recognize Lashon HaKodesh, and that was translated into Aramaic, which was for the Babylonians, so therefore it was for them to understand, so we needed only one person to translate. In contrast with Navi, when they read from the Navi, the Haftarah, say Echad Kari V'Shnayim Metargim, and then you could have one person read it, that it's necessary to have only one, but two people could translate, because, as we said, for the Targum of the Torah, we needed to make sure they understood the mitzvahs. But by Nevi'im, by the prophets, there's no primary mitzvahs. There's no Nevi'im, were not machadish any mitzvah in the Torah. It was words of rebuke, so there they weren't so particular. There you could have even two people translating. You don't have to have only one person at a time. But again, one person has to recite it. As the Braisa concludes, as long as you don't have two people reading the Hebrew text, you could have two people translating by Navi, by the Torah. However, we said that one person reading and only one person could translate. Now, Ubahal of Megillah, related to the Halach of HaMishnah, regarding the reciting of Halal and that of the Megillah of Esther, Afila Sarakarin Vasar Metagim. You could even have 10 people reading Megillah and 10 people translating. Says Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, because, yeah, although general trait called Olam Mishtama, you can't hear two sounds at the same time, you're not going to hear anything, but Kivin the Chaviva, but since the reciting of Halal and Megillah is very dear to a person, Yavi Daitai Vishami, they'll be able to give their attention, their focus, their consciousness, and they'll be able to hear, even with 10 people saying it at the same time. Now the Mishnah then continues, if the custom is to make a blessing on the Megillah, so then they make a blessing on the reciting of the Megillah. So Amabai, he qualifies this Allah. He says, Leishana Elachra. We didn't say that it depends on only on a minig, only regarding the bracha that one makes after reading the Megillah. But regarding before doing a mitzvah, like Mikra Megillah, like all mitzvahs, mitzvah levarach, there's a commandment to make a bracha. That's not dependent on custom. After, which generally one does not make a bracha after mitzvah, that is where we say that that's a minig after reciting a Megillah. The Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, that he says, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam, regarding all performances of commandments of mitzvahs, which Mikra Megillah is one of them, mevarach alein, nevel ha-siyasin, there's a mitzvah to make a bracha before the mitzvah is done. Now, the Gemara parenthetically says the interesting terminology that he says, oivel asiyasin. Says the Gemara, my mashman, the high oivel lishna dakdumehu. Where do we find that the word oivel means beforehand? Because that's what we're saying. It's a mitzvah to make the bracha before it's done. Where do you find that oivel means before? So, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, because Omar Krawi, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says, v'yaretz achimotz derech hakikar, that achimotz ran during in the path of the plains, v'yavre asakushi, and he got there before the kushis. You see, yavre means before. Abaya Mahochi brings the pasuk in Bereishis, who avar lefnei, he went in front of them. You see, it's before. Or v'ibayseh Mahochi, you want to bring a pasuk in Micha that says v'yaver malkum lefneihem, that their king went in front of them. So you see, yaver is going before v'ashem Bereishim, Hashem is on the head, and therefore that's how you see that that's what the terminology avar lefneihem means. Now says the Gemara, okay, lefneihem mevarach. We said before the reading of Megillah is a mitzvah according to everybody. What's the bracha? So the Gemara tells that Rav Sheshes Mikat Razia, which was the name of a place. He came in front of Ravashi, Uboruch Manach, and he made the bracha, three brachas, in the acronym of Mem, Nun, and Ches. Mem stands for Al Mikra Megillah, the Nun stands for Sha'asa Nisim, and the Ches stands for Shechayanu. Those are the three brachas, as our custom is to make before the reading of Megillah. And Lacharem HaMavarach, what's the blessing after reading of Megillah? So it's Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elikeinu Melech Ha'ilam, our God, King of the world. And some take out the word Hokel, God, Haraves Rivenu, who he fights our fights, Vadanas Dinenu, and he judges our judgments, Vanikmis Nikmasena, he takes our revenge, Vanifalon Mitsurena, and he exacts punishment from our foes, from our enemies, he saves us from them, Vamishalam Gamul Khalaiva Nafshenu, and he pays back retribution to all the enemies of our souls. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Hanifali Yisrael Mekotzreim, who saves the Jewish people from all their foes, from all their enemies. Now Ravam, he disagrees, he says, no, the ending of the bracha is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel HaMashiach. Blessed are you Hashem, the God of salvations. So Amar Papa, as he does many times in Shas, he says, Hikach Nemrinu L'Taver. Therefore, since both these are good endings, you say them both. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Hanifali Yisrael Mekotzreim, who saves the Jewish people from all their enemies, Hakel HaMashiach, the God of salvations. And that bracha, that's what the Mishnah was saying, is Tali in the Minig, which that is the Minig to say this bracha. Now the Mishnah said, B'sheni b'chamishi, regarding reading in the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays, by Shacharis, B'Shabbos b'mincha, Shabbos in the afternoon, by Mincha davening, Kar and Shleisha b'chulu, so then you call up three people to get an aliyah. Says Gemara, Hani Shleisha k'neged me, what's the significance of calling up three people for an aliyah? So Amar Vasi says, k'neged tar, nevim k'sum, it correlates to the three primary canonized groups of Svarim that we have, which is the Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, known as Tanakh. Rav Amei says, Keneged Kan Levi'im Yisraelim, it correlates to three types of Jews, Kanim, Levi'im Yisraelim, which are actually the three aliyahs that we give out. But then the Gemara says, if that's the case that you find in the significance that it's predicated on, that's why we have three aliyahs, three people we call up, then Elohadetan Rav Shimi, then this Rav Shimi taught a brisa, that Ein Peichs in Miyud Psukim Aveis HaKnesses, that we don't recite less than 10 Psukim in the Shul when we lane, and also Vayadaber, the Pasuk Vayadaber Shem HaMoshe Lamer, is Oilam in a Minyan, is part of that count of 10 Psukim, even though you don't really learn out anything from that Pasuk itself. So it says the Gemara, Hani Asar Keneged Mi, that halacha that we recite at least 10 Psukim, what does that correlate to? Why specifically we have to have at least 10 Psukim? So Rabbi Shuban Levi says, Keneged Asar Batlanim Shem Aveis HaKnesses, as we learned in the previous halacha, in the previous daf, that there have to be 10 Arla people that are available in Shul, that always there, ready for Minyan, correlating to those 10 people who recite 10 Psukim. Rav Yosef Amar, he gives a second interpretation, it's Keneged Aseres HaDibur Shenemar L'Moshe B'Sinai, correlates to the 10 commandments that Hashem said to Moshe at Har Sinai. Rav Levi Amar, he gives a third interpretation, Keneged Aser Hilulin Shomer David B'Sefer Tilim, it correlates to the 10 howls that David HaMelech said in the book of Tilim. Rav Yechon Amar, he gives a fourth interpretation, Keneged Aser Mamor Shebehen Nibra Olam, it correlates to the 10 statements that with them Hashem created the world. Which the Gemara says, Hai Ninu, where do you find 10? Says the Gemara, you have Vayomer de Bereishis. You have the, when it says Vayomer, every time he said and he created something, that's there in Bereishis. So the Gemara says, Bahani Tishahava, that's only 9. Says the Gemara, Bereishis Nami. The beginning of the Sefer Torah, when it says Bereishis, Bereishis Bar Lakim, in the beginning, which talks about Shemayim and Arts and heaven and earth, that is also Maimahu, that was also a statement, and therefore that's counted as the 10th one. Find the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "B'dvar Hashem shemayim nasu." With the word of God, which is a maimer, heaven was made. So although it doesn't say b'yemer over there, it's only bereishis bara. But it says that shemayim has the arts. Obviously, that's a maimer too. Oberuach piv kotzvam, and with the wind of his mouth were all its host. So therefore, that's the fourth interpretation of what the temp sukkim are every time we lane correlating to. Now, regarding these three aliyahs, Amar Rava, he qualifies. He says, Rishon, he says, the first of the three people to get an aliyah, Shakar Adal, because we're saying this temp sukkim. Now, to split up three people in temp sukkim, you can have three and three, that's six, and then there's going to be four. So who gets to read the one that with the extra pasuk that have four psukkim? So that's what Rava comes to say and says, Rishon, the first one of the three aliyahs, Shakara Dalid, if he recites four psukkim, so Meshubach, that's very praiseworthy. And so too he says, Shein is Shakara Dal Meshubach, if it's the middle aliyah, the Levi that gets the four psukkim, that's also praiseworthy. And Shlesh is Shakara Dal Meshubach, and if the third person who gets the aliyah, he recites the four psukkim, it's also praiseworthy. And if that's if, let's say, the first one didn't do it, and the second did it, or if the first and second didn't do it, and then the third one did it, that they're all praiseworthy. And if, let's say, there's extra room in the parasha for all of them to recite four psukkim, then they're all praiseworthy. As the Gemara explains, what is he trying to portray? He's saying, really, each one is worthy of having the extra pasuk. Rishon Shakar Dal Meshubach, the first one to get aliyah, he recites the one of four psukkim as praiseworthy, because it's not like, learn the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, that the first is significant. The Mishnah says, "B'shalish kupas with three boxes, shalish shal son, which each one containing three son, shebehen terminus alishka, that with them they would go ahead and take out what's known as the trumas alishka. The kanim would go ahead and take from the shkalim that the Jewish people each one gave a matzah shekel into the box to buy the new kabbans of that year. So when they would take off from those boxes, they would take three different containers to take off to use to purchase the new kabbanas. V'ha'yukasav alein al beis gimel, and those three containers would one would say." Aleph, which was one, Beis, two, and Gimel is three. Why they do that? Lay them ezem hinitrimut rishon, to know which one was the first one that you took off into, lahakavim and rishon, to go buy the kabbans from that box first. Shemitzah barishon, because the mitzvah is the first one. So you see, the first one has a significance, as we know by Bukhar and all these different things. So therefore, the first one to get aliyah, it's praiseworthy if he has the four psukkim. Now, at the same time, emtsoy shekar ba mishabach, if the middle aliyah gets four psukkim out of the ten, that's also praiseworthy. The time like learn the brisa. Pasuk said by Midbar, El mul pnei ma'ari iru, that all the candles of the wicks of all the that were there in the menorah in the base of Mikdash, they lit up towards the face of the menorah. Says the brisa, Malama shemitzadid pnei kalab nei ma'rabi. This comes to teach us that all the other candles went and faced towards the center part, the center candle of the menorah, which was in the middle, which all the other six candles faced towards that middle one. The name of Ravi Klabashchina, and that was called the Western one. That one was faced towards the Divine Presence, and all the other ones were faced towards it. So, Amr B'yechan, this is Mekanshem Tzai Meshubach. This comes to teach us the middle one is the praiseworthy one because all the other ones are facing towards the middle one, and the middle one's facing the Shechina. So, therefore, you see the middle one's praiseworthy. At the same time, the Achrinch, and so to Shabbos is the middle of the week, which starts from Wednesday and ends on Tuesday, you find the middle is praiseworthy. And so to the Achrinch, Shakar Bar Meshubach, he says it's the last one. Recites the four is also praiseworthy. As we find throughout Sefer Kadshim, that we only upgrade in elements of sanctity and we don't downgrade. So therefore, it would make sense that the last one should be an upgrade, not a downgrade, so that the last one should have the most psukim, because we're talking about a sanctified thing, like reading from the Torah in public. Now the Gemara brings that Rav Papa Iklud Be Knisht to the Avi Goyver. Once Rav Papa went to the shul in Avi Goyver, the Kavar Rishon Arba, the first one who had the Aliyah, he recited four psukim. The Shavcher Rav Papa praised him because yes, you have an opportunity, the first one, and we said all of them do. So the first one who does it is praiseworthy, like we said that the first one, as we find by the Trumas Alishka, is a significant thing and therefore appropriate to have the one that has the most psukim. Now the Mishnah said that regarding Mondays and Thursdays and on Shabbos afternoon, in peiches mehen ve'im esifin, that you don't do less than three aliyahs and you don't do more than that. Now, additionally, the Girsa here should add on hapesech v'chisim b'tayre v'chulu, that regarding someone who opens up the reading of the Torah and the one who ends it, so they're the ones who make the brachas. So regarding that halacha, Tanu learned the brayse that explains what that means to say is hapesech mevarch lefanel, the one who starts the kriyas haTorah. Whether it's Shabbos, whatever it is, that many people are reciting from the Torah in the Tzibur by the Minyan, HaPesech Mavarach Lefanel, the first one to get the Aliyah, he makes the bracha before the reciting of the Torah, Asher Bracha Banu, V'Achayz Mavarach Lacharel, and the last one to get, the last Aliyah, he makes a bracha, Asher Nasalon Teres Emes, after his last Aliyah. So basically the bookends, The one before makes the bracha before, and the last one makes the bracha at the end. But says the Gemara, Ve'idna the kulam avarchal if now lacharaha. But today the custom is that every single person who gets aliyah makes a bracha beforehand and afterwards. Why? Says the Gemara, in the time of the Tatikin the Rabbanah, the reason why the Rabbanah instituted this was gezeira, it was a rabbinic decree, mishum hanichnasin, because of those who come in. Meaning, if a person comes in late to shul, after the first one already made his bracha before the Kriyas HaTorah, if he's going to have Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, he's going to hear everyone and no one's making a bracha beforehand, he'll say, there's no bracha before one reads from the Torah, which is not true. He just missed the first one who opened up. So therefore, we make everyone before he gets an aliyah to make a bracha beforehand, because of the decree of those who come late to shul. And also because of those who leave early. And they don't hear the last one that gets an aliyah to make a bracha after the reading of Torah, and the early ones didn't make a bracha after their aliyah. So they're going to say, those who left early, say, yeah, you don't make a bracha on the Torah after you read from it. So because of the concern of those who come late and those who come early, because of that, we have everyone making a bracha before and after, so that those who come late shouldn't say there's no bracha on the Torah before you read it. And because of those who leave early, they shouldn't say that you don't make a bracha after the reading of the Torah.